As we come to God's Word tonight, let us pray. Our Father, this is indeed, as we said before in prayer, a strong chapter. And we pray that we would not be frightened, but that we would grow in our fear of you, so that we'll not fall into the same trap that Israel fell into so long ago. Help us to take warning, but also to take encouragement in knowing that in Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, and we have the Spirit to help us repent of them. Please teach us, be kind to us tonight in your teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text tonight is found in Hosea chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Do not rejoice, O Israel, with exultation like the nations, for you have played the harlot, forsaking your God. You have loved harlots' earnings on every threshing floor. Threshing floor and winepress will not feed them, and the new wine will fail them. They will not remain in the Lord's land, but Ephraim will return to Egypt, and in Assyria they will eat unclean food. They will not pour out drink of offerings of wine to the Lord. Their sacrifices will not please him. The bread will be like mourner's bread. All who eat of it will be defiled, for their bread will be for themselves alone. It will not enter the house of the Lord. What will you do on the day of the appointed festival and on the day of the feast of the Lord? For behold, they will go because of destruction. Egypt will gather them up, Memphis will bury them, weeds will take over their treasures of silver, thorns will be in their tents. The days of punishment have come, the days of retribution have come. Let Israel know this. The prophet is a fool. The inspired man is demented. Because of the grossness of your iniquity and because your hostility is so great. Ephraim was a watchman with my God, a prophet. Yet the snare of a birdcatcher is in all his ways, and there is only hostility in the house of his God. They have gone deep in depravity, as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your forefathers as the earliest fruit on the fig tree in its first season. But they came to Baal Peor and devoted themselves to shame, and they became as detestable as that which they loved. As for Ephraim, their glory will fly away like a bird. No birth, no pregnancy, and no conception. Though they bring up their children, yet I will bereave them until not a man is left. Yes, woe to them indeed when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I have seen, is planted in a pleasant meadow like Tyre. But Ephraim will bring out his children for slaughter. Give them, O Lord, what will you give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. All their evil is at Gilgal. Indeed, I came to hate them there. Because of the wickedness of their deeds, I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are rebels. Ephraim is stricken, their root is dried up. They will bear no fruit. Even though they bear children, I will slay the precious ones of their womb. My God will cast them away because they have not listened to him, and they will be wanderers among the nations. Thus far the word of God. I take it you've noticed the title of the sermon, The Wages of Sin, and you recognize that as the words of Paul in Romans. The wages of sin is death, and that's proverbial truth, divine truth. Our text tonight is a vivid illustration of what that means, of what God will do to anyone, any people who reject him as God, and his law as their rule for life. It warns us that God hates sin with a holy hatred. Israel, our text teaches, is about to learn that the hard way to their destruction. This chapter is horrific in the Lord's description of how his wrath will fall upon his people for failing to repent of their sin. May all of us take it seriously, and that includes you, even if you are a confessing believer in Jesus. Sin is never a good option. That's not an understatement. That's a true statement. Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God, as the Shorter Catechism says. If you are a believer, let these strong words to Israel in this chapter keep you alert to the dangers of sin. And if you're not a believer, beware. What is it that the Lord told Israel through Hosea he would do to his people? Pay attention to it and beware lest this same disaster come upon your life. Because with regard to Israel, he says he is about to do three things. First, he will send them into exile. They have forsaken Yahweh, and so they will return to Egypt and be unclean in Assyria. That means they're going to both of those nations. Look at verses 1 through 3. Do not rejoice, O Israel, with exultation like the nations. For you have played the harlot, forsaking your God. You have loved harlots' earnings on every threshing floor. Threshing floor and winepress will not feed them, and the new wine will fail them. They will not remain in the Lord's land, but Ephraim will return to Egypt, and in Assyria they will eat unclean food. They have become the spitting image of the pagan nations around them and the worship of their gods. They become like harlots, making love to foreign gods. And two of those pagan nations mentioned, they've been trying to be friends with. So, as punishment, they'll become captives in the lands of those two nations, Egypt and Assyria. If you read the prophet Isaiah, Egypt and Assyria come up often as Isaiah prophesies concerning their time in Egypt and what God will do to Egypt and Assyria when he rewards them or punishes them for what they do to his people. But Israel is going to those two nations because they gave up worshiping the Lord a long time ago in their land. So that now their now former God will cast them into other lands. And in Egypt and Assyria, they will be unable to repent and be forgiven. Look at verses 4 and 5. It speaks to their sacrificial offerings. They will not pour out drink offerings of wine to the Lord. Their sacrifices will not please him. Their bread will be like mourner's bread, think funeral food. All who eat of it will be defiled, for their bread will be for themselves alone. It will not enter the house of the Lord. What will you do on the day of the appointed festival, and on the day of the feast of the Lord? They will be Israel, Ephraim, call them what you will, they will be unable to keep the holy days as he commands them to in his law. Why? Because there'll be no temple. That's going to be taken apart. No priests, and there'll be no altar of the Lord. How can they keep the holy days without those? They can't. And if they have any of their treasures used in worship, they will grow old and tarnish unused, because some of them will remain in Israel when they leave. And the rest of them, well, they can't be used because they can only be used in the temple. That's what God's law says. And in the end, Egypt will destroy Israel as a people, at least those of Israel that are taken captive by them. You see, sin that we are willingly tolerating or even enjoying in our lives removes God's loving presence. He will not dwell in a life where sin is alive and thriving. He is of purer eyes than to look on sin. And so he turns from us when we sin. Turn to 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, that is, in our sin, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And what's the cure for that? Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But, verse 10 adds, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. That was Israel's fundamental problem. They wouldn't admit they were sinning. That's the reason that you and I, as believers in Jesus, are called to confess and repent of sin as his people. Because refusing to do that will separate you from God. Examine your life in minute detail each day and do it often. Ask God to reveal your sin to you. And when he does, be sure to confess it and repent. So first, he's going to send them into exile. Second, we can summarize verses 7 through 9 with the words, the past is now the present. They are repeating the sins of the past. They have rejected the prophets. They've become depraved as they were in Gibeah. Look at verse 7. The days of punishment have come. The days of retribution have come. Let Israel know this. The prophet is a fool. The inspired man is demented because of the grossness of your iniquity and because your hostility is so great. Now, why reference Gibeah? Well, because verse 18 says, Ephraim was a watchman with my God, a prophet, yet the snare of a birdcatcher is in all his ways, and there is only hostility in the house of God. They have gone deep in depravity as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. Why is he mentioning Gibeah? Well, we won't read it tonight. It's Judges chapters 19 through 21, but let me summarize the awful history. Gibeah is the place where a Levite, a priest of Benjamin, took his concubine for the night. A city in Israel where sodomy, what we call homosexuality, was practiced freely. The non-Israelite men of Gibeah sought to sodomize the Levite. And what the cold Levite did was he sent his concubine out so they would rape her instead until she died. And in the end, when Israel sought to punish Benjamin for tolerating this sin, Benjamin was nearly wiped out as a tribe. Prophets of Ephraim and Israel that are mentioned in our text were supposed to be watchmen and warn Israel of and call them to repentance from sin. Verse 8, Ephraim was a watchman with my God, a prophet. Yet the snare of a birdcatcher is in all his ways, and there is only hostility in the house of God. It seems, though, that the prophets who sought to faithfully fulfill the task of warning Israel of their sin only met with hostility. They were either laughed at or they were mistreated. Now, that's a bit of a conjecture, but it doesn't go all that far astray. The bottom line is that Israel rejected the prophets' calls to repentance. So now the days of punishment have come, foretold by Moses way back when they were still in the desert in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 24 to 28. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 24 to 28. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. When you become the father of children and children's children, and have remained long in the land and act corruptly and make an idol in the form of anything and do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord your God so as to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that you will surely perish quickly from the land where you are going over the Jordan to possess it. You shall not live long on it, but will be utterly destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the prophets, among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord draws you. There you will serve gods, the work of man's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor smell. You see, centuries earlier, Moses prophesied it by God's Spirit. And therefore, Israel is now immersed in depravity. And there was no depth of depravity that they turned away from. Just read the earlier chapters of Hosea. Anything goes, as far as they're concerned. It is a case of Gibeah redo, or Gibeah do-over, bringing back the depraved days of gross immorality in Gibeah and uncleanness as a lifestyle. So I ask you, what unclean behavior are you willing to tolerate in your life, in your household's life, in your circle of friends' lives? And if you tolerate that sin, how can you claim to love God who hates sin? How are you any better than Israel was in the days of Hosea's ministry? So first, God will send them into exile because, secondly, the past is now present. They're repeating the sins of the past. But third, once and for all, God will expel them from the land and they will disappear as a nation. Turn to Numbers 25, 1 through 9. Numbers chapter 25, 1 through 9. See, God had delighted in Israel. They were to him like an unexpected fruit in the desert. You take a look at what was said here in verse 10. I found Israel like grapes in the desert. I saw your forefathers as the earliest fruit on the fig tree. He loved them. God knew they were there, but it's like they surprised him by being there, or he surprised himself by raising them up to be his people. But now they are as they were in Baal Peor. Now, if you look at Numbers 25, beginning at verse 1, while Israel remained at Shittim, the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab. For they invited the people of the sacrifice to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. That's Israel. So Israel joined themselves to Baal of Peor, and the Lord was angry against Israel. The Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, each of you slay his men who have joined themselves to Baal Peor. Well, while this punishment's going on, verse 6, then behold, one of the sons of Israel came and brought to his relatives a Midianite woman, in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of all the congregation of the sons of Israel, while they were weeping at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Imagine a funeral in a large stadium, where everyone is mourning the death of a beloved person. And suddenly someone does something horrible right in front of everyone. That's what that is like here. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he arose from the midst of the congregation and took a spear in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and pierced both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through the body. As my Old Testament professor says, you get the idea? With one shot straight through both bodies. So the plague on the sons of Israel was checked, and those who died by the plague were 24. Now God loved Abraham, and he adopted his descendants as his people, intending to use them to reach the Gentiles with covenant mercy because they were so delightful to him. That's the point of the first part of verse 10. But the second part of verse 10 reminds us, and it reminds Israel, that at Baal Peor, one of them took to himself a Midianite woman, a worshiper of other gods, and let's put it straight, he had sex with her. Phinehas, the grandson of Aaron, being a righteous and godly man, executed him on the spot along with his filthy consort, greatly to God's pleasure. But now in the days of Hosea, Israel has no Phinehas. No one who fears God enough to do justice on sinful Israelites, and they have become detestable. Detestable to God. They become as detestable as that which they love, says the prophet. Therefore, God is determined to take from them both their glory and their existence as a nation. And in verses 11 through 17, he says he will break their hearts as they broke his by their wickedness in Gilgal. This is very sad. As for Ephraim, their glory will fly away like a bird. No birth, no pregnancy, no conception, no children. Though they bring up the children they have, yet I will bereave them, God says, until not a man is left. Yes, woe to them indeed when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I have seen, is planted in a pleasant meadow, like Tyre, is considered a beautiful country. But Ephraim will bring out his children for slaughter. And the prophet asks, Lord, give them, O Lord, what will you give? And the prophet righteously cries out, give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. And the Lord responds, all their evil is at Gilgal. Indeed, I came to hate them there. Because of the wickedness of their deeds, I will drive them out of my house. That means out of the land, out of the house of Israel. I will love them no more. All their princes are rebels. Ephraim is stricken. Their root is dried up. They will bear no fruit. Even though they bear children, I will slay the precious ones of their womb. My wife and I knew two families back in Middletown, Pennsylvania, two wonderful couples who wanted children and couldn't have them. And the Lord says of Israel, even though they bear children, if they manage to bear children, I will slay the precious ones of their womb. My God will cast them away, the people of Ephraim, the people of Israel. Why? Because they have not listened to him, and they will be wanderers among the nations, childless wanderers in the world. For a long, long time, in the late part of the 19th century and earlier than that, and into the beginning of the 20th century, the Jews had no land of their own. They continued to be childless wanderers in the world. But God will not tolerate sin in his people. Now, you say you love the Lord. You're a Christian. You say you love the Lord. But do you listen to his words? You say you follow Jesus. But do you tolerate wickedness in your life? Israel had Yahweh's words, written and taught to them for centuries. But in the end, they rejected them all and broke his law and worshipped other gods. Do you love and practice the word of God? Or has it become just a habit to read it, and worse, a habit to forget what you've read? Have you forgotten that the Lord once took delight in you? And have you begun to spurn his affection in order to live for yourself and your own pleasures, maybe filthy pleasures, as your own God? My dear beloved Christian, if you are harboring sin in your heart, giving your heart to the world, the flesh, and or the devil, repent. Confess your sin. And if you have trouble putting it away, trouble repenting, cry out to Jesus to help you. It would not be surprising if you were so addicted to it that you find you don't have the will or even the desire to put away your sin. The good news for you as a Christian is that repentance is a work that God does in you. He doesn't expect you to give up sin all by yourself. He never has. He knew you couldn't do it. So he'll do it through his Spirit in you. If you find you cannot stop sinning in certain ways, and all of us have habits that we have trouble repenting of, pray. Even fast and pray. And tell God that you feel helpless, because that is what you are. Go to God. Go to Jesus and implore him to deliver you from your sin. Remember, he ever lives to make intercession for you. So he will pray for you, and he will give you the ability to repent of your sin. The promise of Scripture is that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And if he hears us, we know that we will have the very thing we ask him for. Is it God's will that you repent? And therefore, yes, Repent of your sin. Ask God to give you repentance. Repent of your sin. Put it away by God's grace. Don't force his hand to discipline you as he did Israel. Ask him to help you love Jesus more than you ever have before. That is his will. And he alone has the power to do that for you. You may be dealing with sin that's of deep dye and long existence in your life, perhaps decades long. Your God is more powerful than you are, and he's greater than your sin. He has grace greater than your sin. And so if you're struggling with sin, ask him to use that power in your life to make you repent of your sin. Because if you ask anything according to his will, he will do it. Amen. Our God and Father, we thank you that you are powerful, that you love us, and you have pity on us. You did when you found us wandering away from you. If any of us here are wandering now, please be gracious to us and rescue us from our own sins and our own still too feeble wills to be holy. Transform us by your grace. Fill us with your Spirit. And make us, O Lord, such people as others would look at and say, hey, I would like to know Jesus too. But grant us repentance, even of our deepest and darkest secret sins. Do this for Jesus' sake, because that's why you sent him. And it's in his name that we ask it. Amen.